I can't tell. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see your beautiful faces. So I get to open this morning, and I was telling Pastor Mike, as I was driving to church this morning, coming for worship practice, I was having to do an attitude adjustment, and feeling tired and a little out of sorts, and I was like, you know, God, I am just what you made me. And I got an instant no. I got this, I am who God made me to be, but how I am is my choice. If I choose to be closed, if I choose to be loud and obnoxious, if I choose to live a lifestyle of sinfulness, that's my choice. That's how I am. So I need to remember that when I say I am who God made me to be, that also means I need to choose to act like how I am a child of God. That I need to act with love, compassion, humbleness, opening my heart for Him to work on it, and giving Him my every day. So I really hope that everybody is open this morning and willing to lift their hands and their hearts and their lives to Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you now. Lord, we lift this service, Lord. We lift the message. We lift the worship to you. Lord, let every heart worship and realize their inheritance is the joy of you. And Heavenly Father, Lord, we just pray hearts will be changed, minds will be changed, and that your peace and your love will rest on this service today. We pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory, come down. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory, come. Shekinah glory, come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. More, and you speak, we want more, and you move, we want more, we want the fullness, sing it like you mean it, church, and you move, we want more, and you speak, we want more, and you move, we want more, we want the fullness, you move, and you move. We want more, and you speak. We want more, and you move. We want more, we want the fullness. You move, we want more, and you speak. We want more, and you move. We want more, we want the fullness. Sing, release the fullness, release the your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit.
Standing in your presence, we
here to meet you today. We're standing in your presence. I wanna leave change, so I'm standing in your presence. I'm never the same, because I'm standing in your presence. Your name changes me, I stand in your presence. Never the same, because I'm standing in your presence. My sins washed away, because I'm standing in your presence. Hey, 'cause your presence changes me. Yes, your presence changes me. Never.
Bear my
love, and you would take my place, and you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for
time, just the voices.
This is amazing grace. This is failing. May you would take my place. May you would bear my cross. Yes, you did. Need Jesus.
makes us whole again, Jesus.
Last week, when I walked into the sanctuary, immediately the Lord began to speak to my heart, and I want to be so careful, not with just what I say, but when I say it. And so all through service, I kept asking the Lord, is it now? Is it now? Is it now? You know? And I just kept sensing a stop sign, like, no, you're not going to talk, you're not going to say anything. But this week, as I walked in and we started worshiping, immediately the whole word came back to me. Like, that's when you know it's God. Like, you know, when, like, it's like, what was that word he gave me last week? Nope, can't remember it, so I guess it wasn't. But this time it's like completely remembered it. And I was just sharing with somebody, Patrick and Debbie before church about, I was a Navy brat. My dad was in the Navy for 28 years, and we traveled all around, and so we moved all the time. And I remember this one summer, I was probably 10, maybe 11, and I remember we went on a trip to go see my grandparents in Florida. And so whenever we would visit these grandparents in Florida, I don't know if y'all have ever been to Florida, but upper East Florida is very hot, very muggy, lots of gnats. It's just disgusting. Anytime the gnats would be out and they wanted to eat outside, they would land in my food and it would just gross me out. And my grandma would always say, more protein, no big deal. But it would just be so gross. But anyway, so when we would go back and we would visit my grandma and grandpa, my grandpa had a very dry sense of humor, and he would never smirk a smile for nothing. Like, he wouldn't do it until after you got the sort of joke that he told. You know what I mean? That kind of person that has such a dry sense of humor, you're wondering if they're joking or not. And most of the time, my grandpa was. And so we were sitting after church on a Sunday afternoon, and we were all sitting out on the front porch. Thank the Lord they had a screened-in porch, because then the gnats couldn't get to me, and I was very happy. And so we were watching, and all of a sudden, on this two-way, it was like a two-way road, but they said that was their highway, but it was a road. You know what I mean? It wasn't very big, and it was like they didn't go very fast. But all of a sudden, coming down the freeway or highway or whatever they wanted to call it, was this big kind of decked-out truck. And in it were two young teenage boys that had spied me and my sisters in church that morning, and they wanted to check out the cute girls. And so they came driving by, and my grandpa, he noticed they drove by, but he didn't say anything. He knew who they were. He knew they were safe kids. You know, they were from church. And then they turned around and came back again. But then when they came back again the third time, my grandpa says, you know, oh, girls, those boys like you. They've come down the third time, you know. That must mean something. And so I remembered that time as a young girl and life just being so carefree. And I remember that time with my grandpa. And when the Lord brought that to my heart last week, I started thinking about roads that we take in life. And sometimes the roads are little. Sometimes they're highways, but sometimes they're freeways. Sometimes they're pathways. Sometimes they're not clearly marked. However, when it's the path that God chooses for you, even if there is not a sign to be seen, it's clearly marked in His Spirit and in yours. In Psalms 16, verse 10 and 11, it says, and this is the message. Please, I've read it in five different versions. Read whichever one that you want to read, but this is the one that spoke to me. It's in the message. It said, "You canceled my ticket to hell. That is not my destination. Now you've got my feet on the life path, all radiant from the shining of your face ever since you took my hand. I'm on the way, His way, God's way." Some of us may not know what our path is. Some of us may have been alive for a really long time. And I mean really long time by any of these teenagers would tell you 30 is a long time, but especially 60 something. I'm not going any further than that, but it's been a long path for me. But if it's God's path, if it's the path that He's chosen for you, if He set you your feet on that path, if you've been looking for that path, set your feet, stand on it with the firmness in your spirit, believing that He is going to speak to you and guide you and lead you into all truth. You are the reason He made that path to begin with. You're the reason He created your path. Not for somebody else to come on your path and walk it. It's for your path. It's your life. It's what He chose for you. So today could change everything for you. Today could be that day that, okay, I'm going to tell you one more little thing. We're moving back full-time to Yakima. We've been traveling every single weekend back and forth for 4 years. And tomorrow will be the last big move day, and we're back in Yakima. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we're packing up, and my husband comes across something last week in the middle of the week. And he walked out, and he brought it to me, and he said, "Do you know what this is?" And I looked at it, and it was his wristband from the hospital visit that when he almost died. And he said, "I just found this in the drawer in there. And it's from when I was in the hospital." And I said, "That's your memorial. That's the day you can look and you can see God spared you for a reason." Today could be a memorial for one of you, or all of you, or some of you. You choose if it is. It could change your life today. You don't have to even move, say anything. It could be between you and Him. It could be His deep speaking to your very deep. Today is the day that could change your spiritual life for good. Can you receive that? Thank you, Jesus. Not only, God, do you custom design our path. You don't let us walk it alone. Help us to follow and not lead. Help us to place our hand in yours as you're leading us down the path of righteousness. Not for our sake, but for your name's sake, God. Father, I pray that these hearts that are here in this room will beat in an agreement with your heart, God. That they will say, "God, show me why today is so special for me. Speak to my spirit. Don't let today go by that I am not changed for you for the better." In Jesus' name. Quietly greet each other with a holy love. And there's coffee and tea over in the, what do we call that? The overflow room. That's what we call it. It's right over there. Help yourself. We'll get back in about 5 minutes.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Good morning. So it sounds like this morning is a theme so far of kind of choosing how we're going to respond to what God's doing in our life, choosing to how we are going to interact with the kingdom, choosing how we're going to follow his path that he's laid out for us, or follow our own. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to choose to declare with me over the city of Yakima God's blessing, God's plan for this city. All right, let's start on three. Would you stand with me? No? Open the windows during the declaration? And the heat come in? Sure, let's do it. As long as you... Okay. We're going to let that fly out the window. So this is north. That's going to be like the main downtown there. That's Union Gap over there. That's West Valley, East Valley. Tieton. Oh, yeah, Tieton. Lower Valley. Anybody from Lower Valley? Yeah, Lower Valley. But we're going to pray over the entire valley. We're going to declare over the entire valley God's will over Yakima. Amen? Okay, so on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, and that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We declare right now that your will be done. Lord, I know that there's many out there who have agendas and plans and desires for Yakima, some not so good. But Lord, right now we declare that your will be done. Lord, even where people are trying to create situations where the enemy is going to mean evil, Lord, we declare that your intention will be good for that, that you will turn that around, Lord, and use what the devil means for a weapon against us, Lord, that you'll make it prosper for the kingdom of God, prosper for the lives of those who need to be touched by God. Lord, we just release right now, Lord, release right now over your church, over your people, Lord, an attitude, Lord, a position, Lord, of seeking your kingdom first, Lord, of putting you first, Lord, of putting the gospel and the kingdom of the gospel, Lord, first, the light of the glorious gospel first in their lives, Lord, that they will set their hearts like a flint on the things of God. Lord, you have made a way where there is no way. We believe that right now for Yakima. There's a way that's been made for Yakima to grow and to become the kingdom that you've called it to be. Yeah, I said kingdom, Lord, because I believe you want your kingdom people to rise up in this day, Lord, to take their place, Lord, to take their place, Lord, in their workplaces, to take their place, Lord, in their schools, to take their place, Lord, in their families, God. We just declare right now that you will have your way, your perfect way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Getting ready to preach, Pastor Mike. Good morning. Good morning. We just have a few announcements. And so kind of wanted to hit this again. This is what happens after service. And so if you're unaware, or it's just good to put it at the forefront of our minds. So Sunday nights, we have our youth ministry, One Life Youth, that meets Sunday nights downstairs in our youth space. Again, if you know a youth, if you know a teenager that needs a place to be, let them know that we're meeting. And it's okay to double dip if they go to another youth group. I'd actually prefer that kids go to multiple youth groups. I think that would be amazing. And so that meets at Sundays at 6:30. And then we have two small groups that meet, one on Tuesday for the ladies and one on Wednesday for the men. And if you contact those numbers, that's Mike and Gaylene's numbers, and they'll connect you because it's over Zoom. And so how many of you guys know that God doesn't need you to be in the physical space with other people for him to move? That in 2023, we can meet through a screen and God can still move. Amen. How many of you guys believe God's that big? Okay, a few of us. Awesome. So we meet over Zoom with the ladies and the guys. So if you're interested in that or know somebody that maybe is looking for a small group, you can get a hold of Pastor Mike and Pastor Gaylene, and they will get you connected. The next thing is our pre-service prayer. So this happens every Sunday. Everybody say every Sunday. We do not skip a Sunday. There's only one time that we didn't do it, and it was less of a skip, and it was more because God was moving in this space, and this was a few months ago, and we went from, we usually do our worship practice for half an hour, and then we go down to pre-service prayer, and then we do service. But this Sunday, God had other plans, and we stayed in this room for 3 hours from the time we started worshiping, practicing, quote-unquote practicing, and we went through it. And so every Sunday, we meet downstairs in the prayer room from 9:45 till 10 or till whenever Holy Spirit says, okay, you're done, go upstairs. And a really great opportunity just to partner with us for the service. Like, what would happen if the house of God came together and prayed with each other and for the service? And I would challenge you with this. If you're not going to come on a Sunday morning, that's totally fine. I understand. Sunday, you know, getting here early can be hard at times. But at 9:45, why don't you just start praying for the service? At 9:45, in your living room, in your bathroom while you're getting ready, while you're making your coffee, just start praying for the service. That would be my challenge. If you're not going to make it here in the morning, that's totally fine. God doesn't need you to be in one space for him to move. Okay? So next thing is our youth yard sale. This is happening next Saturday. So here's what I'm going to ask. If you have been holding off and thinking, oh, I'll get to it, it is here. It is time. If you have stuff that you want to give, give it to us, and we will sell it, and we will spend all that money for our youth ministry, okay? So this upcoming Saturday is our youth yard sale. If you can't donate, I would ask that you would just begin to spread the word and come support. Come check it out. And again, all the proceeds from this are going to go directly back to our youth ministry. And so if you do have some last-minute donations, that's Nancy's number up there. You can get a hold of her, and we'll connect with you guys on when we can do that. Amen? And just be praying that the favor of God shows up. I'm going to be laying it on thick. Anybody that comes through and they're buying something and they try to haggle and be like, come on, for God's people, come on. They'll ask for $5 and I'll say, how about we do $50? And, you know, guilt them into giving. I'm just kidding. All right. And then the last thing is our giving. So, you know, I just want to encourage and really thank everybody who pours their finances and sows their financial seed into this house. You know, we're small, but we're mighty, and God is doing something mightily. So thank you guys for pouring into this house. You can give in the box here. You can give online. And I would just encourage you, as you give with purpose, give with intention, give with a joyful heart. Don't give out of routine. Don't give out of pressure. If you feel any pressure from us to give, just don't give this Sunday. That's okay. But because God ultimately wants your heart to be in the right place as you sow into the house of God. Amen. So without further ado, Pastor Mike.
Praise the Lord. Oops, I hit something there. There we go. Don't want to get you ahead of me there. Exceedingly abundantly above. As I have shared before, I've been memorizing the word again. Haven't done it for years, but it's been so encouraging. And I started in chapter 3, and I think I started around verse 14 or something like that. And I got to a place where it said, for this reason. And I was quoting it, and I realized, okay, what was this reason? For what reason? So I went back to verse 8, and I started, you know, memorizing that. And I said, okay, for that reason. And then I realized that it was saying at verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. I said, okay, so why are you saying to me? So then I went back. And so anyway, what has happened is in doing all of this, it's like Bible verses that I've been reading all my life are like starting to come alive. And when I first started doing this, I think it was verse 13 or 14 through 21, this exceedingly abundantly above just kept like ringing in my heart. And you're like, okay, that sounds really great, but what does it really mean? Well, let's put it into context for a minute. Ephesians 3:20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. That's a lot of above, isn't it? I mean, that's a lot of abundance. That's like, I think the thing is that Paul couldn't put it in words enough to try to communicate what God's able to do in us. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. How many of you know that he's got a power that works in you? That you're not powerless, that you're not weak and anemic. And I mean, if you are, maybe you've chosen to be that way. But there's a power that works in us. There's a glory that's happening in each and every one of us, even though you may not feel like it. Even though when you look in the mirror, say, I know what Pastor Mike said, but it just doesn't look like it. Well, you're looking with your eyes. You're not looking with your spirit. You're not listening with your spirit. What's it say that we're not to look at things that are what? Seen? When you look in the mirror, what are you looking at? Seen. But if you look in your heart and listen to what God's doing in there, even though it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like, you listen to what God's doing in your heart. You be still and know that he is God. Sometimes that means you have to quiet the mechanism. Just be still and know that he is God, and he will be exalted among the heathen. Well, we're not heathen, but how many know when you're being still and know that he is God, he's being exalted because your life's being aligned with who he is, not in your own direction, not in your own ways. We've heard about that today, haven't we? The ways that he goes, making choices. Like Vicky was sharing, making choices to choose to be who he's called us to be, not who we want to be that day or who we just happen to be because we're not purposing in our hearts to be like he's made us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want to go back to this somewhere here. Where'd it go? Where'd you go? How am I in music? Hang on. It's all good. Exceedingly abundantly above. Exceedingly. I want you to start thinking about that. Now to him who's able to do exceedingly. What does that mean in your life? That he's able to do exceedingly. Forget about abundantly right now. Just exceedingly. Exceeding your expectations. Exceeding your dreams, exceeding your desires, exceeding your own ability in God. He's able to do exceedingly. Now think about this, abundantly. Abundantly. In other words, such a fullness he's able to do. Exceedingly, abundantly, above. Not just exceedingly, not just abundantly, but then above all that. Beyond all we ask or think, dream or imagine. It says that the mind of man cannot conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love him. You can't even imagine. And that's not just when we die, that's for us now. Do you think that you are living to the fullness of God? Raise your hand. No, not yet. Do you think the fullness of God is there for you to live in? Raise your hand. Come on. So what's the issue? Us. We have to be transformed. We have to let our minds be renewed. And what does that mean? That means we have to get the mind of Christ working in us. It says we have the mind of Christ. Does it not say that? You have the mind of Christ. What does have mean? If I give you this phone and you have this phone, what does that mean? You possess it. Yeah, I can't let you have it. But anyway, you possess it. You have the mind of Christ. That means you have it in the present tense. That's why people say, I don't know what I was thinking. Well, you weren't thinking in the mind of Christ. You weren't thinking in the mind that God gave you. Remember, it's all by faith. I want you to realize that. Everything I'm saying here is by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. In faith, you have the mind of Christ. In faith, he is doing exceedingly abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. But it's in faith. That means you have to apply faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. The evidence of things what? Not seen. So what does this mean? It means it's something that you can't see. But it's something that we believe God's precious promises, his word that he speaks to our heart. We believe those and we apply our lives to those. And when we do that, we're now walking in faith. Hope has to be in your heart. You have to not let the world take away your hope. You can't let the world do so much damage to you that you're not living in the hope that should anchor your soul. Hope is like a, it's like a rope. It's like a rope. If we can get hope and we hold on to this rope, even though we can't see where it's going, there's a rope up there. I'm just going to hold on to it. You know, it's something that you can't see. But if you can anchor yourself to hope, then faith will start to work. So many say, I don't understand why I don't have any faith. Well, it's because hope has to be kindled. And disappointment has to be squelched. If the enemy's brought disappointment in your life, choose to say, what the enemy's meant for evil, God will make good. If things haven't worked out the way that you think they're going to work, say, God, I'm doing this and giving this to you now. Hasn't worked out the way that I wanted it to work out. Hasn't happened the way that I wanted things to go. But you know what? I'm going to give this moment to you. Because I know if I give this to you, you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above everything else that the enemy could even try to do in my life. What the enemy's meaning for evil, he will make good. Now, so many people say, well, so many people say that, Pastor. Yeah, and they say it because it's the truth. But unless you apply it by faith, it's just words. Unless you say, I'm going to anchor my heart and my hope in this, and I'm going to believe this whether I see it or not, or whether I've seen it 5 days ago, or whether I've seen it 6 years ago, or whether I've never seen it. How many people have gone through life and all they've done is continued to believe for the next day? And finally, at the end of their life, all they had was God in their hearts. Is that enough? I think so. I think realizing having God in our hearts and having him active in our hearts every day and having his love in our hearts is more than enough. But he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above that. Oh, I must have already hit amplified. Or it went there. It must have said it. Now time to go to amplified, Mike. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power. See, it's him. That's the key. It's his power. It's his power that's working in us. It's the consequence. I like that. Because for so many years, consequences were like bad. Remember when my kids were growing up, I said, there's going to be consequences. They hated that when I said there's going to be consequences. But how many know that there can be good consequences? Yes. It's not just a bad word. Yeah. Consequences come from something that's done and then you reap something. Or consequences come from something that's already been done and you're going to get the results. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, that's the root of it, guys. That's why we can believe by faith and God can move. Because Jesus accomplished something on the cross. When he said it is finished, he said, now I'm going to be able to allow my Father in heaven to do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything my church needs because of the work that I just did on that cross. That's why I believe Peter could come up to say, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I'm going to give to you because my Father is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. And he gave him the power that was in him, that power that was at work in him. The power is at work within us. Within us. What does that mean? It means it's there. Just like you have it. Why don't we see it? Why don't I see it like that? What's the disconnect? Father, what is the disconnect? Do we need to be still more and know that you are God in our lives? So that you can be exalted among the heathen, you can be exalted in the earth? Teach us to be still, Lord. Teach us to hear that still small voice that tells us who we are and not who we think we are. Some of you may have been here a long time and say, Pastor, you kind of always preach the same. I mean, I'm doing different verses and stuff. Why does it always say the same thing, that we're more than conquerors? Why does it always say that we are kingdom people? Why does it always say that we're not going to lack anything that we need? All things to life and godliness. Why does it always say that? Well, I tend to focus on those verses because I believe those are the ones that really matter. Well, I'm jumping around all over here. Then it says here, he is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Then it says, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Here's the message. I love this. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around. I like that. He doesn't kick us in the butt. Go on now. He does it this way. He does it this way. By working within us. Says that. He's at work within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at another verse here. This is another time that you see this exceeding. This is in Ephesians 1, 19 through 20. It says, and what is... Oh, this is just like... This is like taking it out of context. So let me give you the prior verses. This is the one where it says that the... Let me get it here. I always got to figure out where to start. Oh, we'll just go here. That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling and what are the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. See, there's that exceeding again. Paul wanted the church in Ephesus to know that there's exceeding greatness. And then in two chapters later, he's going to say exceedingly abundantly above. You think Paul's excessive? No, Paul's not excessive. God is. I'll show you that Jesus said it himself about this excessiveness and this abundance. According to the working of his mighty power. See, there's got to be a switch that goes off in us. There's got to be a connection that says that the same power How many know that when Jesus rose from the dead, that was powerful?
Yeah.
Dead in the grave, just brutalized in his flesh. I mean, could have possibly drained out every drop of his blood by the brutal act that was done against him. And yet that body that was marred beyond any kind of understanding was on the third day walking with a couple disciples, and they couldn't even recognize him. They didn't know who it was for almost 4 or 5 miles. Finally, they said, "Hey, stop and have dinner with us." And he said, no, I got to get going. He says, no, please. This is amazing what you're telling us. Because he was telling this man that they thought was telling him all about the truths of Jesus from the Old Testament, how the Messiah was going to suffer. And so they sit down, have dinner, and he breaks bread. All of a sudden, their eyes open up. Oh, it's Jesus. Then he's gone. But that same power that transformed that body is alive in us. That same power. That exceeding greatness of his power. And it's towards us. It's in us. That word in the Greek means to be moving into. I think that's partly where the connection, you know, because it says to remain in Christ. It says for us to remain in Christ. What does that mean? That means that we have a choice, I believe, to either keep ourselves in Christ or be out of Christ. And when we're in Christ, it lets that exceeding greatness of his power work in us. When we're outside of Christ, we're outside of his full dominion, let me put it that way, where what he wants, he gets. Whether it's us to quit calling somebody by name or a name, or whether it's a bad attitude that we have, or whatever it is, could be some vice in your life. Whatever it is, if we don't let him have that, we're not in his dominion, it's like it squelches what he wants to do. It's like we're the one turning the faucet on and off. Glory on, flooded. Exceeding greatness of his power at work in me. Hallelujah. Love it. Off. Where are you, God? Well, he's right there. Never leaves you or forsakes you. But are we letting him be in the fullness that he's already given to us? Did I get that? Which part? Which he worked in Christ. This is the key. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put what? All things under his feet. They're under his feet. But are we letting it stay under his feet? Or are we letting the enemy back in? That's why Peter says, be sober. Be determined minded. Don't be willy-nilly in your faith. Because the enemy is around, running like a roaring lion, a noisy, boisterous, prideful entity that wants to rob what God's doing in your life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus doesn't want to steal, kill. He wants to bring life and has brought life. The fullness of life. Hopefully this is ringing or sending home. Okay, here we go. Romans 8, 31 through 32. This is, again, these scriptures just keep saying it. What then shall we say to these things? What things? All the prior things, but you can go read that for yourself. If God is for us, who can be against us? If he's for us, now, he's for us, but are we applying our faith that he's for us? Or are we just saying, oh yeah, God's for me? Not doing anything in our hearts, setting our attention on Christ, and saying, God is for me. So, if God is for me, who can be against me? He did not spare his own son. Do we guys realize that? that Jesus Christ, the third person in the Trinity, was not spared. God so loved the world that he gave. He didn't just send him to the world just to walk and do miracles and stuff. The real thing that he did, he sent him to die. Remember, Jesus in the manger was born to die. He was born to be among us, but that was the ultimate goal, that he died for all of us. He didn't spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now here's the kicker. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Not a new Ferrari. Not a new 5-bedroom house. Maybe you might have need of it, and he might allow you to have it. That's not these all things. All things is all things that pertain to life and godliness. You might get that 5-bedroom house and quit serving God. Why? Because you're fat and full and sassy. I don't need God. Talk to people who have a lot of money. You listen to them. Why do I need God? No, I've heard them say that. I don't need God. I can get anything I want. Is there a God? I mean, the thing is that when you're full of things and full of yourself, because that's what ends up happening when you get full of things. You get full of yourself. It's about you. That's why I say, if you're well-to-do and you're prosperous and you have been blessed by God financially, realize that he's the one who gave you the brain. He's the one that gave you the talent. He's the one that gave you the opportunities. Because there's other people out there who maybe have the same kind of brain, have same kind of talent, but haven't been given those opportunities yet. Maybe because they would go off track if they did. But you need to say, oh, you're my provider. You provided me the ability to go to college. You provided me the ability with this job. You provided me with these skills. Just remember that everything you have comes from him. If it's good in your life. That's part of being able to keep your eyes on him. If you're saying, oh, it's not me, it's him. He gave me the ability. He gave me the skills. Some people say, well, I mean, you know, I worked hard. I went to college. I did all that. Yeah, you had the strength to do that. You had the mental capacity to do that. There's other people who are sitting on the curb drooling because they don't have any mental capacity right now for whatever reason. But God's grace gave you that mental capacity. Because that's why we like the saying, except for the grace of God, I could be the one sitting on the corner drooling because I don't have the mental capacity. One final verse. Remember I told you Jesus was going to give us the clincher for this. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So if we don't have an abundant life, is it God's fault? Is our spouse's fault? Our parents' fault? Is our kids' fault? Is our job? I mean, is there a reason that we can point? This is why I don't have an abundant life, because I haven't been given this, or I don't have that, or because someone did this to me. That's why I don't have an abundant life. That sounds like you got your eyes all in the wrong spot. Turn your eyes towards heaven, where your help comes from. Turn your eyes towards Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And guess what? You'll start receiving that abundant life. That overflowing life. We were singing about an overflowing. Talk about an overflowing. It's such an abundance that you can't contain it. This is such an abundant life that when you have this life, when people come around you, they start receiving abundant life, even though they're not Christians. I mean, Jesus did it all the time. walking down the street, who just seemed to be minding his own business, thronged by people, looks up in a tree. Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house because you need some abundant life, son. He didn't say that. He says, I need to stay at your house. But that's why. So he could get some abundant life. Because Zacchaeus had a lot of stuff, but he didn't have life. But by the time he got done with that meal, he said, you know what, Jesus? I am giving half of what I have to the poor. I'm going to pay back triple or whatever it was if I've defrauded anyone. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to square up my life. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. You know what? We don't really truly understand the word salvation, because salvation meant in all the fullness. Salvation meant wholeness, healing. Salvation meant restoration. Salvation meant abundant life. Abundant life has come to this house, you could say. Why? Because Zacchaeus listened to what Jesus said and he followed him. Now, we don't have a record of what Zacchaeus was doing 20 years from now. I bet Zacchaeus had some bad days. I bet Zacchaeus did a little backsliding. I bet Zacchaeus probably had some people that were judging him. You know, you're a tax collector. You think just because Jesus went in under your roof that you're all of a sudden perfect? You know. No. But maybe he made it question it. You know, people were causing him to question his faith. Maybe after Jesus was crucified, he goes like, whoa, man, I thought he was going to be like the king of the Jews. I thought he was going to be like ruling and reigning. I'd be able to go in there and maybe, you know, find a job or something. This tax collecting is really hard because I don't cheat people anymore. And that's how I made my extra cash. Who knows? But we know at that moment, salvation had come to his house, abundant life. When you received Jesus Christ, abundant life came to you, came to me. A life that is not lacking or wanting any good thing. But by faith, we have to hold on to it. Like a rope. I'm not letting this abundant life go. I'm not letting go. I'm anchored in hope to the work that Jesus did on the cross. I'm anchored in the hope that what God has done is a finished work in my life. So I'm going to continue to believe God for that abundance that he promised in John 10:10. Okay, I want us to go through a little exercise here. You know what exercise is, don't you? Push-ups, you know, sit-ups, squats. Drop down, give me 20. No, I'm just kidding. Let's stand. Let's stand. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I believe that hearing is what generates the hope in us, so that the things that are hoped for can become evident of the things that aren't seen. If you can't stand, don't worry about it. Stand in your spirit. But what I want you to do, I have a habit of doing something. The reason I do it is because, again, it's by faith. I take my hand, sometimes I take both hands, I put them on my heart. Now, I'm doing this not to pledge allegiance. I'm doing this to remind my being, my part of me that's connected in this world, that no, I'm really God's. I'm really God's. And what God has said about me is true. And I take sometimes the other hand when I really mean it. And so I want us to just think about this for a minute. Exceedingly. Lord, you are doing exceedingly in my life right now. You're exceeding my expectations. You're exceeding, Lord, my weaknesses with your strength. Lord, you are exceeding right now in my ability, Lord, to be like you. You're exceeding, Lord, in my ability to rise up above my circumstances that have been weighing me down, that have been keeping me, Lord, with my head towards the ground and not my eyes fixed on up above, Lord. Lord, you're doing exceedingly in my life. Let's just all say that right now. Lord, you're doing exceedingly in my life. Say it by faith. Say it like you mean it.
Lord, you're doing exceedingly in my life. You see, as you start to say it, that's confession with your mouth, believing in your heart, things start to take place. Maybe you won't see all the changes right now, but as you continue to believe by faith that he's doing exceedingly abundantly, all you could, above and beyond all you could ask or think, things will change. I'm telling you, things will change. Things will not remain the same if you stay steadfast in believing and holding on to that rope of faith, not letting go. You will see results. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next week. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. But does it matter? That's the key. Are you able to hold on and say, Lord, I know that you will transform me. I know that you will change my circumstances. If you don't change my circumstances, you'll at least change the way that I see my circumstances. Lord, you're going to do abundantly. Come on, let's say it. Lord, you're going to do abundantly in my life. An overflowing, Lord, an overflowing that's going to touch hearts around me, going to touch lives around me, Lord. It's going to bring a transformation, Lord, to my friends and my loved ones, Lord. Lord, a change and a transformation, Lord, to the things that I do and the way in my behavior, Lord. That abundance, Lord, is going to bring transformation. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, you're going to do above. Not just exceedingly, not just abundantly, but even above all that. Lord, you're going to do above all that I ask or think. You're going to, Lord. That's the key. I don't have to make this all work out. All I have to do is keep my eyes on you, Jesus. Keep my heart in your truth, Lord. Keep myself, Lord, in Christ. You're going to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I ask or think, Lord. Because there's a power that works in me, Lord. And it's your power. It's the same power, Jesus, that rose you from the dead, that gave life to you in such a way that people couldn't even recognize you. You're giving life to my mortal body. You're giving life to my being that same way. Lord, your power works in me. I believe that right now by faith, Lord, that I'm not what I think I am, Lord. I'm not what I see in the mirror, Lord. I am, Lord, your child. I am, Lord, your kingdom transforming person in this world, Lord. Lord, let this work that you have started in each and every one of us be completed. Let it be fulfilled even unto the day of Jesus Christ when he appears. Let none of us, Lord, go back to the way that we were. We have a choice. We can go our own way. We can do our own thing. We can walk our own path. But Lord, don't let us. Holy Spirit, quicken us. Speak to our hearts. Remind us that we are the ones that are being allowed to do, you're allowed in our lives to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to your power that works in us. By Jesus Christ himself. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything? Yes, Debbie? Tim, you got something too, bro? Okay. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
So this morning on the way to church, my husband prayed for me. And he said, oh, just let her be overwhelmed with your presence more. And my answer back to him was, I am always overwhelmed by him, and it's wonderful. The problem is, I want to be, as I'm overwhelmed, I want to overwhelm everyone. I want his presence to overwhelm everyone, and I don't want it to be preferential. I don't want it to be maybe someone that has hurt me. You know, I want it. So that's what I said to him. And then while you were preaching, Pastor, I heard the word, like, unforgiveness and forgiveness. That's part of the layers of not forgiving. The layers go back on. If you forgive, then this will come. This will come. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you haven't forgiven, you can. It doesn't matter if you don't want to. You can. And then that will be the rewards of abundant life, that abundant life that we can have. Just let him overwhelm you. Just let him just stay in his presence, and he will wash that away. He knows your heart. He knows it. And then you can live so that others can live by your very just walking to the store or walking to the bank or whatever.
Wow, I just want everyone just to know the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me. If you didn't hear that message, just listen to it again online. But I wanted to share, first of all, that this morning I woke up, it was pertaining to this message. God, I was sour. And God told me in my spirit exactly what just happened in this church, that, you know, you can choose. You can choose to be sour, or you can choose me. And so I chose him when I got up, and the day changed. And so I just want to encourage every one of you to, the one thing, if you could get anything from here, God opened up to you the power to make your day. So this, yeah, just choose God, and he will make your day. He is exceedingly abundantly.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay.
Sitting in your presence.
presence. God, we thank you that as we learn today, as we were reminded of today, that you're not just giving just enough, that you're a God that gives above and beyond, abundant. We thank you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, as Pastor Mike gave that example of a faucet, God, and how we have times where we turn it all the way on and we let the hose just release the Spirit of God all over our lives. God, at the same time, we close it. And I just pray right now, God, that this week we would not close it. And this week we would leave the spigot wide open, letting your presence just rain glory over our lives, Lord, in our workplaces, God, in our homes, Lord, when we're at the grocery store, when we're at the gas station, God, Lord, that your glory would just be pouring out all over us, God, so that when we get around people, they can't help but to get impacted by your presence, God, and it's not because of us, but because it's because of you. We thank you, God, that you entrust us with your presence, God. You entrust us with this beautiful gift called your presence. And I just ask, God, that we would be made aware, Lord, of when your presence is moving in our lives. So we bless everyone in this space. We just ask, God, that as we leave this place, we would not leave your presence behind. Lord, that it would just linger throughout our day, throughout our week, throughout our lives. It would come up in conversation. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for your mercy, for your kindness, and for your glory. And we just pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Have a great week, everybody.